In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So today, as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and we hear that he is resolute, St. Luke describes that he put his face like flint. He knows that he's on his way to Jerusalem. In our Sunday Masses, we are hearing Mark's version of the Lord's journey to Jerusalem. We know that he is a dead man walking. He knows that he is a dead man walking. He knows what is waiting for him in Jerusalem. He knows the passion and the death. He knows of the resurrection. But he is preparing himself for that passion. But more importantly, he's preparing us to understand what it means to follow him. My goodness, look at what people have done with Christian discipleship, huh? They turn it into every possible thing. There are some people who tell us that being a Christian means that we're just social workers. Or we're just nice people. Oh, we're freeze-dried hippies. That one always entertains me, right? So many different variations of Christian discipleship. Why does the devil work so hard to overtake it? Because he knows the power of when it's authentic. So he works very hard to diminish it, to eclipse it, to take away its power. That should remind us, provoke us to go a little deeper. What does it mean to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Today, two apostles thought that to be an apostle meant to call down fire from the heavens. Do to this Samaritan town what God once did to Sodom and Gomorrah. You can imagine Jesus just shaking his head saying, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. God constantly desires to be the God of mercy. Only when he is absolutely forced, when human will is completely obstinate and evil is so egregious, will he then become the God of justice, raw justice. He could destroy a town. He could destroy a plane. He could destroy anything that he wants, a whole region. He destroyed the 10 cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plains. But that's not the God that he wants to be. He wants to be the God of love, kindness, compassion, encouragement, the God of grace. You who have been parents or grandparents, you understand this. How many times when you are parenting your children or you're helping to raise your grandchildren, have you wanted to be the kind and the benevolent parent, right? And yet you have that wayward child or that strong-willed child or the child who just will not obey, and you have to then be the disciplinarian. And how it breaks your heart to see your own child cry from discipline that you brought upon them. And you yourself want to cry because you don't want to be that parent. You want to be the one that encourages, but they have to be compliant. They have to be willing to trust. They have to be willing for you to form and mold and shape them into an adult. Same with God. God does not want to be the God of raw justice or vengeance. Say the apostles, call down fire upon them. You can imagine Jesus saying, no, not yet. Please, not ever. He desires to be the God of mercy. What does that mean to us in our Christian discipleship? What is Jesus teaching us during this encounter as he's on his way to Jerusalem? He's reminding us that it's so easy to become so zealous or to become so obstinate in our own conception that we are somehow right. So hard-hearted even in our approach to other people. Sometimes when we're trying to share the gospel and someone rejects it, or we try to offer prayers for someone and they say, buzz off, right? Or we see people mock our faith, mock our way of life, mock our Savior. And what happens to us? We get angry. And we ourselves want to call down fire. But wait, pause. Why are we angry? Oftentimes our anger is nothing but bruised pride, a wounded ego. That's not righteous. If and when there is a legitimate call for righteous anger, it should be because God's majesty is offended. And because we see no other good that could bring about a change in our neighbor than that use of that level of justice. It's tempered. Even the exercise of justice in that context is an exercise of mercy. As Christians, we should constantly be willing to share, to be rejected, to be mocked. We have been so spoiled here in the West, absolutely so spoiled. In large part because for a few centuries, society's moral norms matched ours. And we were allowed to get very comfortable. But now as the West more and more begins to slide back into barbarism, we are reminded of the true call we have as Christians, which is to be salt, light, and leaven, which is to be the lamb who was willing to be abused, to be mistreated, to be rejected, in order to give testimony to truth. I think now more than ever, we are being reminded of that particular call of our discipleship. Are we willing to speak truth and suffer persecution? Are we willing to speak truth even if that means rejected? Are we willing to speak truth even if it means the ones that we most love will choose not to love us back? What does it mean for us to follow the way of the Lord Jesus? The Lord was willing to abandon all things out of love and obedience to the Father. If we choose in our freedom to follow Him, then we must be willing to surrender all the things of this earth, every relationship, every comfort, in order to give due praise and obedience to God the Father in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. So how are we doing? How are you doing your discipleship? Where do you measure up? Sometimes it is so disheartening as a shepherd of the church to see so many who look so devout. You look so wonderfully holy here, huh? And then to watch you walk through those doors and become the secularite. The people who are ashamed to pray, even before you eat your meals in public, or are ashamed to speak of Jesus or of moral truth. You look so devout and so wonderful here. Some giving lip service to the Lord Jesus, knowing as soon as they walk through those doors and they're in the midst of the fallen world, and that praise and glory and obedience means 10 times more because of the witness and the power that it unleashes in the midst of the world, to watch that be abandoned, surrendered, compromised. What does our faith mean? Today our Lord is on His way to Jerusalem to suffer an absolutely cruel torture and to die for us, for each of us, before the Father that He might give testimony and say, I give testimony for this one. I died for this one, Father. Let them in. Are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to die and to suffer for a Savior who loved us so profoundly, who loves us so immensely and so passionately? Or are we worried about what this passing fallen world thinks of us? Are we willing to surrender our faith in Jesus Christ in order to win the praise of this fallen, sinful world? Where do we stand, dear friends? Examine your heart. Recommit yourself to the way of the Lord Jesus. Find your tongue and your heart and be willing to speak, to give witness and testimony to the Lord Jesus as profoundly out in the midst of the world as you do here at God's altar. Do that. Each of us do that. Then we will find the integrity necessary in order for God's grace to save our souls, and for one day each of us to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus.